Well, hello everyone. It's Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Last week, we looked at our words to God, a theme of praise. And in our recognition of God's divine nature and His perfect works, we speak, we sing, we pray. You know, there are so many ways for our lips to declare the overflowing abundance of thankfulness and adoration that's in our hearts for the one true God. We're not limited, but it's a theme of praise. It can be silent, but it's words that we formulate in our hearts and our minds, and they overflow. You know, God knows you better than anyone, and He loves you more than anyone. His love is flawless, and His love is spotlessly pure. Furthermore, we know He is faithful. We have read in His Word that He does not change. And that means He will always know you better than anyone, and He will always love you more than anyone. God's love is steadfast. It's the constant. Every wholesome word of light is permeated with His love. It's the beginning, it's the foundation, and it is upon His love that we choose to nurture our believing hearts. We want His love, His loving words to permeate our hearts. You know, there is one aspect missing in God's love. Don't be shocked, but there is. There's no end. There's no end to God's love. The end is the only thing that's missing, and we're not going to miss it, right? There is no failing to His love. His illuminating word, bringing us the knowledge of His love, it's like the light in the dwelling of our hearts. Remember, the Israelites had light in their dwellings? Well, you know, we have light where we dwell. We have light in our hearts. And that is the light that we guard above anything, above everything, above all else. And there's just, seems there's no getting away from reading this verse every week because of the amount of truth that's packed in it. Proverbs 4:23, the NLT, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And from that secured treasure trove of love and truth, we speak to God, but you know what? We also speak to ourselves, and that will be our focus for today, speaking from our hearts to ourselves, part one. There's a lot more to it than merely talking to ourselves, you know. Lots of people talk to themselves or talk themselves through things out loud, but there's a lot more. The importance of speaking to ourselves. And really follow this, think it through. The importance of speaking to ourselves goes all the way back to God making and forming the human body the way that He did. You know, the medical fields, the science fields, they may never know why the body actually does the things that it does and works the way that it works. But, you know, God's every design within our bodies has purpose, with the intent of filling us with His Spirit and then our abiding in unity with Him. His comprehensive plan for the healthy functioning of our minds, it extends far beyond the concept of quote-unquote positive thinking or the self-love kind of self-talk that we hear so much about in our culture today. For self-talk, godly self-talk, to bring forth benefits that are befitting the children of the Most High, It's got to be based on the truth, not just some positive affirmation about who we want to be, what we want to be, what we're going to accomplish, you know, how much money we're going to make, what kind of job we're going to have. You know, God's interested in us having the things that we want, for sure. But it's got to be our self-talk for it to be the best. It has to be based on truth. And there are two basic elements here. One is, we have the word hidden in our hearts, and we speak, maybe silently, maybe out loud, but we speak to ourselves from that abundance. And then the second element is more broad. We are mentally, emotionally, or physically attacked many times in hopes that we will respond according to the unfiltered thoughts streaming through our minds in that moment. You know, catch us off guard. But you can see then that this godly self-talk is actually two-pronged. We self-talk what we receive from the Word to establish and guard our hearts, and we also self-talk to navigate through the temptations in life. Godly self-talk takes us from where we are in the here and now, and then keeps us in unity with God's will. You know, we've read it again. We've read this verse a lot. The truth is, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that includes all the stages of living and dying in between. You know, while it is up to us to speak words of truth to ourselves, it has to be with the understanding that it's not really our might. It's not really our power, but it is the might and power in the Spirit of God at work within us. That's what causes us to triumph in life situations. Now, it is our spirit. God created just for us, but within that wonderful package is His might and His power that is now ours to exercise. In 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the NET Bible, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and who makes known through us the fragrance that consists of the knowledge of Him in every place." You know, when our self-talk is based on looking to God and trusting Him, we're not going to miss out on one facet of our lives being nourished, developed, and brought into harmony with His heart and nature. That's what brings about our optimum performance in all that we do, whether it's our spiritual understanding, whether it's a secular job, whether it's just part of our working heartily. You know, when we flourish spiritually, we thrive in all that we set our hands to do. Speaking to yourselves is interesting in several ways, because of all the voices entering your ears and crossing your mind, do you realize that the sound of your own voice holds the most sway? No voice is more influential in your life than your own. You think about it. You know, to bring the point home, you might negatively perceive yourself in a certain area, and maybe that negative thought couldn't be further from the truth. It's just totally wrong how you perceive yourself in an area. And even others, they may look at you and see that area that you negatively perceive. They might see it as an area of strength, but you see it negatively. So no matter how many voices tell you otherwise, your own opinion will stand, and you will continue to reap the fruit of that opinion. So that's why we speak the word to ourselves. We want to make God's voice our voice. We come to know and believe and speak like He does. And, you know, when we imitate our Father as a dear child would his or her parent, our self-talk is impressively effectual. Because that little child speaking, they say something their dad says, or something their mom has said, and they're just so proud, their shoulders are back, because they believe it. They trust. They believe it. So, you know, and that's when we remove those self-inflicted restrictions away so that we can really and truly be and do what we are in Christ. What we can become, how we envision our worth, and ultimately how we will be freely and joyfully able to love God, ourselves, and others. You know, we do the self-speaking. We all realize we don't sit and wait for God. You know, we're beyond that. He's always been waiting on people. He's always waiting on us. And we know we don't beg Him for strength and power when He's clearly revealed to us that His strength and power is already ours in that gift of Holy Spirit. It's ours to exercise. So to be clear, though, we're going to be looking at self-talk from God's abundance of knowledge and understanding rather than out of any grit-your-teeth, self-sufficient attitude that we're going to gut our way through this, and through positive sayings and speeches, we're going to become this or that, we're going to do this or that. No. And as Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 3:5, and I'm going to read this from the Young's Literal, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And when we read through the church epistles, we don't see Paul sitting around waiting on God. But we also don't see him arrogantly flaunting his own sufficiency. We see him confident in Christ. We see him counting God faithful to do the work he called him to do. Paul was always moving in the direction of fulfilling the ministry God gave him. And no matter the circumstances, and he had some pretty dire circumstances, you know, even in his imprisonments, he was always full steam ahead for the believers, getting word out to them, comforting their hearts, writing epistles, all of that. And again, I think of the beautiful Psalms of David, how they give us insight that our self-talk is not the same as self-sufficiency. Psalm 16:2 in the NIV, he says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." You know, David is not saying here that he does nothing and the Lord does it all. You know, keep in mind, David is the very one who presented Psalm 119, and it took him 176 verses to express what the scriptures meant to him, how he loved them with his whole heart, and how he based his entire manner of life on them. You know, he was a shepherd, and then he was a king. He was a father. He carried out many roles throughout his life, and I'd like to read in Psalm 119 some of his self-talk and just make a few points about it along the way. David hid the word in his heart, and we'll see his self-talk coming back from his heart into his own ears, so to speak, into his own mind. So starting in verse 5, we're going to do this from the NLT, the New Living Translation. Verse 5, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. So now, in these four verses, 5-8, he may not be saying, he may not be phrasing it like you would phrase an affirmation, so to speak, or a positive self-talk, but not only do we read what really are affirmations regarding his behavior, but he vocalizes his understanding heart behind it all. And that's so important because we mentioned it's not merely just quoting a verse or saying something positive, but it's all of the heart and soul and understanding and love that is behind the effort, the confidence in it. In the Net Bible, David acknowledged in Psalm 16:5, so this is the NET Bible, "Lord, you give me stability and prosperity. You make my future secure." Back to Psalm 119, verse 11, and continuing in the New Living Translation. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So now here we start to see the eyes. "I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given me. I have rejoiced in your law as much as in riches." See, here are the things that he had already done. It's all past tense. But, of course, hiding the word in our heart, praising, reciting, they're also continuing things that we do to establish unity with God. He hid the word in his heart because he didn't want to sin against God. He praised God. He deliberately recited aloud the ways of God's righteousness, and he rejoiced in doing the work. He considered it better than finding treasure. Sure. Now, here is what he is affirming that he will do now and going forward. He will continue. "I will," in verse 15, "I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways." You know, study continues. It's never finished. It's ongoing. He's going to study and meditate on the understanding of God's ways. "I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word." So, you know, being delighted in the word and remember it, it's ongoing. You know, these are things that he's going to think, things he is going to do and carry forward. In verse 20, "I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations." So, as a result of all of this, he remained in a state of fervent desire to walk with God. That was his biggest desire. And let's look at verse 29. "Keep me," this is great, "keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions." So, you know, it is possible to lie to ourselves. We do it all the time. You know, haven't we all done that at one time or other? That's where speaking the word to ourselves saves the day. Continuing in verse 30, "I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame or be disappointed. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding." See, by doing the word, our understanding expands. We prove it. In verse 44, we'll pick up another section. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. How I delight in your commands, how I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. And in Psalm 119:138, still New Living Translation, I pant, P-A-N-T, I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. And in verse 162, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. You know, what moving and inspirational self-talk that overflowed from the heart of David. His heart was full, and his self-talk was based on the supplier of his sufficiency in every aspect of his life. And when you read Psalms, I know we all have, not only in times of joy, but in times of trouble, times of discouragement, sorrow, danger, and even a few times in situations where he was envious of the unbelievers and how their lives appeared to go well. And there were even times when he was overcome by his own failures and shortcomings. Times of fear, when the enemies were just so close and so breathing down his neck that he called out to God to deliver him from that. You know, it becomes apparent that our godly self-talk is in essence our speaking to ourselves with God as witness. And you know, it is God in Christ in us. He knows every thought. He is the witness. He hears everything. He knows it all. Our self-talk is really us verifying what God has already said. And, you know, God doesn't ask us to understand how he does what he does. He does not require that in his word. But he does ask us to believe that he is. So, in these matters, there's no need to overcomplicate what God has designed within our mental capacities. I mean, you think of the minute, maybe you watch a show on Discovery Channel or a science channel about all the just little minute details about the brain and the mind and the body. We're not going to understand all that. But we don't have to overcomplicate it. God has designed it, and he made it to work. So it is going to work according to his design. And I love the way that Larry has explained it so simply for decades. If you change your thoughts, you will change your believing. And if you change your believing, you will change your heart. And if you change your heart, you will change your life. That's how simple it is. I think about it daily. We're flooded with worldly information, void of divine love and pure-heartedness. Its aim is to disable our power grid. And in situations that try our souls, like David, we don't allow our self-talk to betray us and spoil that wonderful relationship with God. We don't allow it to bust up and cause brownouts on our power grid, for sure. Our sound self-talk will quench any doubts as to God's integrity and his faithfulness. Our sound self-talk will quench doubts. It will quench doubts. We don't want to lose integrity, God's integrity, or question His faithfulness. Speaking from our hearts to ourselves will strengthen us. It will build our resolve. It will present us strong in the day of adversity. We will not fall prey to feelings of unworthiness, hopelessness, depression, despair, envy, jealousies, and that's just the mere tip of the iceberg. But we decide our own voice is the most most impressionable in our minds. We are the most influential person in our lives. So we do the work necessary to guard the voice of sound reason and truth. And by putting on the word, by looking at the word and taking it unto ourselves, we can correct any, we can tweak the accuracy and the truth and the desire. Read through the epistles. We want to remain fresh on who we are in Christ. In Philippians 4:12, in the NET Bible, NET, I have experienced times of need and times of abundance. Now, this is Paul. Like David, you can really see the thought behind it, the heart. It's not just a conclusion, but it's an understanding. I have experienced times of need and times of abundance. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of contentment, whether I go satisfied or hungry, have plenty or nothing. Verse 13, I am able to do all things through the one who strengthens me, which of course is Christ. In Romans 8:39, in the NLT, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, condemnation, sin, making a mistake, hurting someone, being hurt. It says, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us. In Philippians 1:6 in the King James, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That would be the day of the return. So we absorb God's guarantees of what we are in Christ. And where it says we, personalize it. Say I. Where it says us, say me. And so on. You get the idea. His promises are your supply for everyday needs. His promises, His word, they are your solutions to your situations. Gather them unto yourself. Secure them in your heart. Cling to them. Say them aloud. Pursue them. Speak of them. Delight in them. And then, like David, pant with expectation and rejoice as one who finds a great treasure. So, our prayer is to realize the broadness and the thoroughness of speaking from our hearts to ourselves. So, this is part one, and next we'll look at part two. So, God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.